Good morning again. I'm here to introduce our next speaker, Daniel Perryman. Daniel Perryman is a member of Central Church of Christ and was baptized here in 2009. She also had the pleasure of worshiping with Stillwater Church of Christ in Stillwater, Oklahoma, while she was in grad school for the first time. She's now in second grad school at UC Berkeley, and in her free time, she enjoys working with the Sunday school classes here, decorating things, rock climbing, and playing a board game or two. Danielle?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm going to start off with a quick poll. Raise your hand if you've ever had a bad day. Great. Now, keep your hand raised if you recall it perfectly. I do. Some might describe it as a painful day. Others might describe it as a painful year. Or multiple years. But the point is, we've all had a low. You saw lots of hands go up. But all the same, we see that we've all had a low. There will be times when we want to just pretend we're okay and move on, and maybe that will get us through the day. But the truth is, we all have low periods and things we will need to overcome. There's something potentially unifying in knowing others have been broken at some point in their lives as well. So in case you were wondering, if you're struggling alone, look around the room, know that you're not alone. Also know that we're going to get through this together, okay? Good. So now that we know that we've all gone through a difficult circumstance, let's break down some of the causes. We go through life, and many things will define who we are. Some literal definitions that might describe us in this room are Christian, or maybe not yet, woman, mom, wife, single lady, our respective ethnicities, height, and other physical appearances. Then you also go through life and define for yourself who you think you are. These may include your character traits you would like to have and the goals you want to achieve. You're going to get that promotion at work. Then you're going to move into a better apartment. Then you'll find the man of your dreams, have 2.5 kids, and live happily ever after, right? Generally, we all just give a lot of thought to the people that we think we should be. But why else are definitions so important? And how can they lead us into a victim mindset? With the exception of Christian, many of the examples I gave earlier are pretty surface level. Some definitions are a bit deeper and contribute much more to the person we are. Perhaps you were in a terrible job, or you're burnt out and you feel alone. Perhaps you were a victim of assault or abuse, or you have an ex or a disease or a lifestyle you can't escape. Whatever your circumstance may be, it may have left you heartbroken or disillusioned to the point that you just don't see how this can ever not be a part of who you are. Then slowly, it feels like it's the only definition of who you are. But why do we feel this way? Well, because it hurt. It was painful and it evoked a strong emotional response. Then we spend time trying to rationalize why something terrible happened so it'll never happen again. We can get so wrapped up in what we could have done differently that we forget that we still need to move forward. Case in point, me. I'm going to shove a personal anecdote in here because you guys saw that I all raised my hand too. So life and society generally define me as Christian, a conservative person, woman, single, black, tall, thick, trim, fat, athletic, all sorts of different things depending on who you ask. I'm also a PhD student and consequently a person who doesn't sleep very much. I would describe myself as similar, and I also spend a lot of time defining my character traits in a great level of detail, which to some degree leads into my circumstance. I worry and I get anxious about things, like, a lot, which makes some daily scenarios needlessly difficult. To put this in perspective for you, I'll quickly give an example of my average bedtime routine. I'll get in bed and I'll start thinking all sorts of different things. Maybe some of you resonate with some of these that are on the board, or have felt that feeling of peril after you do something and start to beat yourself up about what you could have done different. Then at some point during my bedtime routine, I'll say to myself, Lord, I wish I could just go to sleep. In an effort to not have this fun debate with myself, every night, I generally try to be very on top of things during the day and control as many variables as I can, which leads to some very elaborate planning. As I mentioned, I'll have a plan A, I'll have a plan B, then I'll have some less elaborate plan C through L. So with all that planning, what could possibly still go wrong? The fun part about trying to control everything I found is that there is not one aspect of my life I have complete control over at all, no matter how much I'd like to think so. Even my job or school, I could get in an accident or go through something traumatizing and lose my control of those two things immediately. So there's a piece of my role, but perhaps there's something you feel defines you more than anything. So, is it possible to escape this victimized, this circumstance we've fallen victim to? Well, we're here. We're in this box. We're victims of circumstance. Let's pause now and think what a person who's always destined to be a victim would do. Well, they would put up walls. In the process of never letting the circumstance happen again, they would shut themselves off to the world and hide the love and talents God placed in them because they couldn't risk getting hurt again. Now, not getting hurt again sounds tempting, right? Although, Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Why wouldn't we want our light to shine? Now, we should make sure that we are physically and emotionally safe, of course. But a problem comes up when we preemptively strategize to avoid pain. The preemptive strategies can close us off to new opportunities and put up a guard between us and the world. And that's a world that we're often called to interact with. Like in Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Also in Matthew 5:43-46, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" And there are many more examples I could give, but one more I'll list is in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So if we put up those very tempting walls, are we really leaving ourselves open to the plan that God has for us? At this point, you're probably saying, "But Danielle, this is a lot easier said than done." You're right. I can't say I have perfected this balance of openness and safety myself. There have been several circumstances in which I was in a tough spot, and I went through a thought process. I'd say to myself, "Wow, this has been a really tough week. Let me take a moment or hours to figure out what I could have done better." Later I'll say, "Whoa, this has been a rough month, Lord. Can you help me figure out what I should do?" Then later, "God, this has been particularly awful to deal with, but I'm trying really hard to work through this. Could you maybe ease up a bit?" Okay, it's been a long time now. This dumpster fire isn't going out. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Could you maybe let this lesson be a bit more obvious so I can move on? Lord, this really isn't working. Please. Please, Lord, I can't do this. It's too much for me to handle. I just can't do this, Lord. You're right. You can't. And I know that, but do you? I've been waiting for you to realize that you need me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong.'" I do not like feeling weak. I do not like feeling powerless. I do not like difficulties. But I realize in saying this that I'm basically saying I don't like letting Christ work through me, and that I need to work through these circumstances without him. It is very possible when we are in this victim mindset to forget a few things. First, that God has already brought us out of something in the past, something else we thought we couldn't escape. I'm sure you can think for yourself some examples that's resonated for you. And there's no reason why he can't do it again. And diminishing God's capacity to fix this thing that you're going through really isn't the best idea. And I'm sure you can, again, think of some examples where that happened in the past. I can think of like 9 myself right now. Also, things are just going to try us. Hebrews 12:7-11 says, sorry, I'm kind of blowing through this. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons or daughters at all. We also forget that this absolutely is not on you to fix alone. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Further, anything, absolutely anything, can be taken care of by God, no matter how dire it may seem. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. We also forget that God has an incredible plan for us, and it's so much better than any plan we could ever make. Jeremiah 29:11 reminds me, for I know the plans that I have for you, Lord, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that plan may not be easy, and it may not be what we expected, but our hearts have to be ready for it. So how does one ready their heart? It hurts, it's scary, and if you're like me, you'd say, if I'm in pain, how can I ever really be effective? Well, you learn from the experience, but even if you feel like this will always be a part of who you are, your response to this circumstance is going to be the truest definition of your character. Romans 5:1-5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope and glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not put us through shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. My charge to you all is to be the woman that gets up after the circumstance you're going through and walks with her head held high because she had confidence in God's plan for her. Then you break the cycle. Hurt people who can't escape the victim mentality tend to hurt other people. Instead, be the person you had or needed when you were going through the circumstance for someone else. Romans 12:11-13 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Then be brave and open up your heart even more. It's terrifying. Perhaps it's even insane, but it's necessary. Living a life with all your guards up only guarantees that you're going to stagnate right where you are. And you know where you are. And think about it. Who's the victor then? You cannot be the person that God wants you to be if you're always afraid of getting hurt. Think of Esther, think of Moses, and others who were afraid of God's plan but were eventually effective. And remember, as it says in Romans 12:9-10, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. I hope today that it helps you to know that I have a lot of confidence in your ability to make it through this. Because you are all worth more than sparrows. And it so happens that I really like sparrows. So you all must be pretty special. And this thing, Matthew 10:29-31 says, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. God has a lot of confidence in you as well. He did, after all, put a lot of stock in us. Romans 8:31-32 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And while you may not be at your emotional high throughout the entire process, you will come out of this the victor. Because Romans 8, 37 through 39 says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth," I like this verse, "height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And thank you, God, for your time.